This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome back to Baseball Outside the Box. We are thrilled. We are here for the second half of an outstanding show, and I'm not sure we may have to have two shows because Mr. Revisa has so much great stuff. We're on with Ken Revisa, the world-renowned international speaker and sports psychologist. Now, just to give you a quick background, because we're going to get into this now, we're going to get into his book, but also, you know, Ken's worked with all levels, youth, high school, college, pro, Olympic athletes, Olympic teams, major league clubs, as mentioned in the first half, and just recently, but he goes back since the Rays with Joe Maddon, working with Joe there, but he was also hired by the Chicago Cubs. I want to get into that a little bit because I think that was very interesting. I mean, I'm a Chicago, I'm a very proud one, and that is the World Series Chicago Cubs, and it's just a great thing to say. What do you think, Ken?
Oh, unbelievable, man. I can still remember when Joe called me when he took the job with, he was done with Tampa, and he called me and said, "Hey, Ken, I got a thing with the Cubs. You want to make the switch to the Cubs?" And I said, "Joe, let's do it, man." And, man, going to Chicago is a lot easier than going to Tampa, I'll tell you that. And it's a great city. And to work with Joe and Theo Epstein and the Cubs organization has been a privilege.
Well, you know, I've always been a big fan of Joe Maddon and also Theo Epstein. And one of the reasons I named the show Baseball Outside the Box was because, you know, they're very innovative people. And I believe in innovation. I believe in, you know, thinking outside the box when it comes to anything you do. So I know you're the same. And that's why I follow you in everything you do. But I got to ask you, with all the athletes that you've been around, whether it's especially the major league athletes, what's the biggest challenge in dealing with some of the, you know, major sports?
I think the biggest thing I run into is the athlete's perfectionism, that they want it so bad and they have to be perfect. And that perfection, like so many of our qualities, our greatest strength can be our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectionism is a wonderful trait because it keeps you driven. It keeps you always trying to get better. It keeps you going. The negative side of it is you always have that critic. You always have that monkey on the back judging you, telling you that's not good enough and the likes of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the perfectionism is one of the things that I've run into so often. And if the person can learn to use it to their advantage and just recognize it and use it appropriately, it can be a very powerful tool. But that's a life's journey, figuring that out, Pete. It takes time, no question.
And
so they're,
you know,
highly driven would be the thing.
Yeah, and is it something where you go to them, they come to you? What are you dealing with the most when it comes to on a daily basis with some of the players?
Here's what we got with the Cubs organization. They have a program. Josh Liffraff, who's our mental skills coordinator,
mm-hmm.
Josh developed the program, and it serves both the major league club and our minor leagues. So the players, when they come into the Cubs organization, they get the Cubs way. And part of the Cubs way is the mental game, which Josh, Ray Fontes, and Darnell McDonald work at the minor league level, and then I work at the major league level. So at the minor league level, they're getting so many kids trying to get to the show. And what I'm dealing with are the guys getting to the show and want to stay in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing with a lot of different issues for the different people and what issues come up for them at that stage in their career.
Mm.
And we're there to help them work through it and learn from it and get better from it.
Is there any specific things that you do daily? Like, you know, we call this, obviously it's a skill. I mean, it is a big skill, sports psychology. It must be one of the top ones as far as coaching. But is there something that's done daily? And you hear, you hear about breathing, you hear about different visual things that some clubs may do.
One thing that I encourage players to do on a daily basis is they have to do something to get themselves ready for practice, to get themselves ready for the game. That they have to have that funnel, that routine that you go through, because it begins before it begins. And you have this series of things that you go through to get yourself ready so that you're prepared. Second thing would be that you have to play the game with a relaxed concentration, with a controlled intensity. So you have to be able to recognize where your body's at, when you're too tight, when you're too loose, and get yourself where you need to be. Mm-hmm. That gets back to what we were talking about, Pete, with the signal lights.
Yeah.
You've got to know yourself as where you're at that particular day, because every day we're going to be in a different place. Then after that, what I do is, now that we've taken them through a centering exercise to get them so they're here, then we go through a relaxation where they go from their feet through their body and just let their body relax a little bit. The next thing we'll do is we'll focus on five breaths. Just inhaling and exhaling.
Mm-hmm.
And even as the viewers are listening to this, let's just take a moment and let's just do five breaths. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Inhale and exhale. And as you take the breaths, I want you to just keep your focus on the transition where the inhalation becomes the exhalation. And just smooth that out so that your attention is right there as you inhale and exhale. And the reason we do five breaths, Pete, is because most at-bats are five pitches. You've got to become a master of five, where we can really keep that focus locked in. And are some breaths going to be a little off? Yes, but we get to the next breath.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've gone through a routine. We go through the relaxation. We do the breathing. Final thing I do is have the players in a standing position find a good centered balanced position in their body so that you're right here. And you can really say to yourself, I am here. I'm right here. Because when a pitcher steps on the rubber, he's ready. When the batter steps in the box, he's ready. When a defensive player steps in to good fielding position, he's ready. Key question becomes, what does it mean to be ready? And what it means to be ready is, I'm here. I'm clear.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm trying to do. I'm prepared to win the next pitch. So those would be techniques that I encourage the guys. Now, at the college level, every time I'm with the team, we'll go through that as a group. At the major league level, when I work with guys individually, we'll go through that. And at the major league level, it's all one-on-one work, Pete.
That's something all coaches and players can learn, and I think that's awesome. One of the things as coaches, sometimes we deal with, even at the youth level, high school, possibly even at the college level, you know, a player makes a mistake, he comes in the dugout, and he's always asking, you know, what did I do wrong? And physically, sometimes it's not something they did wrong physically. How do you address something like that?
Yeah, well, then I think what you do is you help them. That's where the player's got to learn. And you got to learn from your performance. You got to learn from the last pitch to get better for the next pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And if the kid, sometimes it's, hey, the ball took a bad hop. That's not your fault. Okay?
Right.
Or it may be you got a very slow first step because you weren't in a good fielding position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the kid needs to hear that too. You know, because
and
the
so,
issue,
so
how
what
do
you're
get better in all this?
Mm-hmm. What you're saying is technique also, the technique that coaches are teaching are very critical.
Oh, absolutely, Pete. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Technique but to get the technique, you've got to do the work. You got to do the blood, sweat, and tears. You got to take the ground balls. You got to do the swings. But it can't just be reps. There has to be some quality. There has to be some awareness in it. No question.
Now, is it at the major league level, do you see a lot of players, they're struggling hitting? Do they come to you during games? If they do, is there something you advise them during the game?
No. During the game is not a time. That's where the hitting coach is involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not involved during the game unless a player, I'm usually in the clubhouse during the game, and if a player came up to me,
right.
But that's not the right time for it, man. They're working with their coaches at that time, and I want to do my work before the game, after the game, and when it's time for them to compete, they're competing.
And, you know, for our younger coaches, you hear this a lot. We really have to be careful with young hitters or even young position players, whatever it may be, giving them fundamental advice or skill advice during games.
Yes, and if you are going to do it, Pete, keep it simple. Keep it to one thing and stay with that one thing for the whole game. You can't change it from pitch to pitch, at bat to at bat. But you've got to stay with it and keep it simple during the game. No question.
Okay. That's great. And listen, I want to throw you a little curveball. And the reason I want to throw this curveball, because I've had this talk and this something that I came up with. You know, a lot of times coaches, you know, we learn from others. But I also believe you have to be creative and come up with your own things. That's something I try to teach coaches all over the world about. Don't just teach what you've been taught. Something I came up with, I've had success with it, but I want to get your advice on it because I think it's more from the mental part. You know, many times we teach players to take ground balls, you know, in the field ground balls. And I noticed what I started doing is I actually started having young kids, you know, when we roll them baseballs, I'd have them drop the baseball. They'd feel that they drop it. They pick it up, you know, when they throw it. So we're simulating when they do make a mistake, how to react. Now that's the easy part because a lot of coaches teach that. But what I found was, because we're making them drop the ball, well, before they drop it, they actually have to field it. And now we're teaching fielding without actually saying you have to field the ball. Does that make any sense?
Yes, that makes total sense. Because one, I love the idea of practicing making an error.
Uh-huh.
Because you bobble the ball,
yep.
You can pick it up and still get the guy out. And it happens, especially at the lower levels, a lot.
Yep.
So that's another skill you've got to have in place. And I think it's also interesting, Pete, that if you take the player's attention off fielding the ball and put it on him bobbling the ball after he fields it, he doesn't make errors because he's not thinking about fielding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing that you got there. You know?
And I would assume could be used in other skills. I mean, applied to other skills.
Yeah, I mean, you could go there.
I haven't thought about how yet, but
I think the fielding part is really good.
Okay. No question. Super.
No question. We'll have to have a more lengthy conversation about that.
Absolutely. No, we'll do that at the American Baseball Coaches Association, which I know you'll be at.
There you go, Pete.
Right? A little plug for the ABCA. Listen, Ken, also... this is something I think that's very important as a parent. What we're finding out now is, you know, a lot of kids are starting to play. I'm going to address baseball, obviously. It's a baseball show. They start putting kids on travel teams at 8 years old. I've seen them as young as 7. And they keep these kids within these teams for many years. Because, you know, parents, I understand. We're all parents. We've made mistakes, but we've also love our kids. We want to put them in a position to succeed. I've always believed that they need to start failing early in order to learn how to succeed. Can you address that from your, you know, expertise?
I think one of the things here that we're finding is the specialization in sport. We have to be careful with it because if the kid specializes too much, it can be overbearing where they'll end up burning out on it. Where it's like, one thing I encourage young kids is something, Pete, that we did as kids and some of the coaches in the group. You did sandlot. You did wiffle ball.
Right.
I encourage kids to play wiffle ball. Now, it may not be best for their technique, but darn it, man, when you were a kid and you're playing wiffle ball with your buddies, you never once thought about mechanics. You never once thought about how you felt.
Yep.
You know, I don't feel good today, so I'm not going to play wiffle ball. No, you play. You know?
That's right.
And you went out and you competed. And I think competing is the skill that in some of these travel ball programs, the kids are traveling on so many different teams. They may go and pitch for one inning and then they leave versus competing. And I'm hearing this from a lot of college coaches. The young players today coming up, they don't know what it means to compete. Mm-hmm. And they don't know what it means to be on a team. And these are things in Heads Up Baseball, too, that we really bring up is this issue of what it means to be on a team and how being on a team is a mental skill. Because when I'm concerned about teammates and what my teammates are doing, it helps me personally because I'm not dwelling on my own damn performance.
Yeah.
But I'm on somebody else and I'm helping that other person. And that is such an important concept. And the competing part of it, Pete, where you compete playing basketball, you compete playing football, you compete in so many different sports, that learning how to compete is a wonderful skill that can help us throughout our lives, no question about it. Now, with the travel ball, that really leads, Pete, to one of your earlier questions about the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard being a parent when every weekend you're traveling and you're taking your family and staying in a motel and you're away from home and then you're going to travel back Sunday night and go to work Monday. And then your kid in the game on Sunday has a half-hearted effort. You as a parent can get very upset. And that's one of the things that is one of the side effects of the travel ball is it's an issue for the whole family. And everyone's got to get on board and understand what the purpose is.
Awesome. And all our listeners, I want to encourage you again. Heads Up Baseball 2.0, the new book by Ken Revisa and Tom Hansen. 5 skills competing one pitch at a time. This is a must book. You got to get it. You can go again to headsupbaseball2.com. And if you, for some reason, are having issues with the website, then contact Dr. Tom Hansen at drtomhansen@gmail.com. Ken, this leads perfectly into the book because this is something I know you addressed a couple things that were in the book, but give us an overview of what the book's about and maybe even for our coaches, some tidbits, things they can learn in the book.
Well, with the book, when we wrote Heads Up Baseball, the first book, it was 1995. I had been working at that point for about 15 years, and Tom was had just finished graduate school. He was coaching at Skidmore College, and Tom has helped me write both books, and he's a great writer, and he provides incredible structure, and we just collaborate together really well, and I feel really good about the book. But Heads Up Baseball, the original, really focused on one pitch at a time, and it focused on the importance of having routine.
Mm-hmm.
This book builds on that 20 years later, and what were the things that we've learned? Because in that 20-year time period, just look at travel ball. Just look at the things we were talking about with competing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in 1995, kids were competing all the time. In 2015, you know, kids aren't competing. They're with computers. They're here. They're there. They're doing a million different things, no question.
Mm-hmm.
And what Heads Up Baseball 2 does is it looks at what are the changes. And what we talked about, one being the competing, another being just being on a team and what that means. Another, and we lay these out in a series of concepts that we put under the acronym of RAMP C. And RAMP C, basically, the R means responsibility. As an athlete, you have to take responsibility for your performance. You don't have control of what goes on around you. You got control of how you choose to respond to it. So the pitcher, fielders make errors. You don't have control of that. You got control of how you respond to it. A, awareness. Awareness is what we were talking about, Pete, with the signal lights. Am I aware of my signal lights? Do I recognize where I'm at? And the other part of awareness is the player has to know himself. And this goes back to when we first started the book, Joe Maddon was still coaching Tampa. And one offseason, they didn't make the playoffs. And Joe lives out here in California. At that time, he did. And we got together. He wanted to get together and talk. And we talked. And he said, Ken, I am shocked that major league players do not know themselves as well as they should. And that really triggered for me, because I know at the college level, a lot of our work is focused on the player getting to know himself. Mm-hmm. But knowing yourself, Pete, sounds simple, but it's knowing yourself when you have your A game, your B game, and your C game.
Yeah.
It's not just, I got to have my A game. No, because you're only going to have your A game 10% of the time, 15.
Yeah.
It's you got to be able to get it done with your B and C games and not freak out on it. That takes awareness.
Wow.
So we have responsibility, we have awareness. M is mission. Mission. What's my purpose? What am I trying to do? What are my goals for this season? What are my goals for this game? What's my mission this at bat? What am I doing with this next pitch? Having a purpose with what you're doing. You're in the batting cage hitting for 15 minutes. Great. That doesn't mean anything. What are you working on? What is your purpose? When I was with the Angels, when Albert Pujols came over to the Angel organization, and watching Albert Pujols in the batting cage take pitches in the batting cage under the stadium before the game, 2 hours before the game, and he would sit in there and he would take 6 to 7 swings. And after 6 or 7 swings, he would get out of the box, walk around, step back in the box, and go back to work. If he rolled over a ball, he would step out, take a breath, get back in. And what do you see with most players? Hack, 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 hack,
yeah.
Swing, swing, swing. And what was amazing is when Albert came over to the Angels, there was a young kid sitting beside me in that batting cage, and his name was Mike Trout, watching Albert Pujols take BP in the stadium 2 hours before the game underneath. And he sat right there and watched his focus, his awareness, his sense of mission and purpose with what he was doing. Incredible. P is preparation.
Yep.
Preparation. The game begins before it begins. A question that I raise to baseball guys all the time, when does the last pitch end and the next pitch begin? We say one pitch at a time. We say get to the next pitch. But when does the last pitch end and the next pitch begin? I think that's a fascinating question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it varies every pitch, Pete, based upon what happened on the last pitch, how you responded to it. The final thing with ramp C is compete. It's about competing. How do I compete? The subtitle in the book is 5 skills for competing one pitch at a time. That's all you're doing is you're competing pitch to pitch. And those are the skills that we talk about. And then we talk about them in relation to hitting, pitching, fielding, and then we talk to them about in practice and in training, and then how these become life skills that one can use. And like I said, Pete, the book took 4 years. We never thought it was going to take this long.
Wow.
But we really put our heart and soul into it, And I really feel great about it, and I know Tom does, and we're really excited to start getting people's feedback on it.
Well, I know we really appreciate you being on the show, and also not just, you know, we're not just promoting your book, but you're giving a lot of great information. And I got to believe, you know, you can't, not everybody out there can hire, you know, kind of is the Tom Hansen. But if you purchase this book, I believe that every coach, parent, kid can become much better at what they do from the mental side of the game. And you know what? I can't think of one thing that's more important at the top of the list than the mental part of any game. Because I think we all struggle with that, whether it's baseball. And I said, even as a speaker, I know I get nervous when I get on, you know, go on stage, and you taught me some things to do that really helped me calm myself down. And also what you mentioned, to be prepared. So I really want to recommend a book. I haven't even read it yet, and I'm recommending it because I know Ken, and I think that, and Ken, you got to agree. I mean, somebody can take this book or any of your books and study them and apply them themselves for their own players and their own teaching.
I think that's the thing, Pete, is that they can apply it to their own teaching, to the people they're working with, but most importantly, applying some of the concepts to themselves. And as you start working on yourself with some of these things, then it just flows through you in communicating it to other people. And that's one of the things that really, really has pumped me up over my years of doing this, is I have students, I have had players that I had 25 years ago, and I see them at an alumni game or whatever, mm-hmm. and they'll come up to me and say, Ken, I'm using those things you taught us more now in my life than I ever did as a player. And that just is everything to me.
Yeah, there's nothing more rewarding than something like that. A couple more things, Ken, and then unfortunately the show's going to come to an end, and you never know. I think we need to have you back, because there's a lot more information we need to cover. But a couple things
that Pete.
I think it'd be awesome. One thing at the end here, I'm going to leave it open to you to say anything you'd like to anybody, you know, our coaches around the world, our players and parents, anything you'd like to say in a minute here. But one of the things I wanted to ask before we ended was, the volunteers of America, the moms and dads, the foundation of our sport, that's the way I see it. They're critical in the game, because they, whatever they do, is going to keep the, if they do it well, it's going to keep kids in the game. If they do it well, we may even recruit players, but also around the world, because as you know, you've been around the world. There's a lot of clubs around the world trying to get kids in Europe, you know, to play baseball when they're competing against soccer. Well, baseball's got to be a fun game. And my question to you is to help our young parents that are teaching kids. What's the number one thing when running a practice for you and when you're coaching that can help kids, and you may have a couple things, but can really help kids love to play the game?
I think one of the things is the way you structure your practices, to be mm-hmm. clear in terms of what you're trying to do. Give it some thought before you go. What do you want to emphasize before practice? And make sure during practice you're reminding the players of that. And I think the other thing at the end of practice, make sure you have a meeting to sort of debrief and talk about what happened in practice today and what were the lessons we got out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think at times it's an issue of, instead of telling the kids everything, that we need to ask them questions.
Love that.
We ask them questions like, how did practice go today? Mm-hmm. And the kids are going to say, good. And then, the issue, your job then is, well, what do you mean when you say good? What was one thing you enjoyed? You know, so you get the kids talking, because to get them talking, that develops their awareness and that empowers them. And because they're the ones that have to toe the rubber, step in the box, and they have to do it all alone. And so if we can empower the player, I think that's very important. But our job is to give them the skills so that they have those abilities to respond in those situations. And some of it are physical, technical skills. Some of them are mental skills. But these skills can be practiced in practice. And as a parent, I think it's also important, the communication factor. with your son or daughter, as you're talking with them, you don't always have the answers, but at least the communication is there, and you're keeping that active. If you have the communication going, you're going to be doing okay.
And what about, here's another one, because I think it's important for parents to understand, because they're coaching. During games, what advice do you have for them? Because I think sometimes they get a little too excited. Anything there?
During the games, I'd say for the parent, get a focal point at the ballpark that you can look at. When you find yourself losing your cool, to remind yourself when you look at that tree in the outfield or that ball on the flagpole, to just take a breath, calm yourself down, and remember that your son is out there doing the best he can possibly try to do. And if he's not, that's a conversation you could have at home later.
But sure, and
not,
you know, and a lot
the midst of the, not at the midst of the time, because it's not going to work.
Right, and that applies, and that would apply to our coaches that are parents that are coaching during the game.
Correct. You, as a coach during the game, you got to be very selective in what you say to your players and how you say it. And one thing I will say for the coaches, and sometimes even for the parents, one of the things you hear all the time from kids, you start talking to them and they go, I know. And when the kid says to you, I know, question I have for you to ask them is, what do you know? Tell me what you know. And that's a wonderful question. And we use that with a lot of the college coaches, because the college coaches get tired of hearing, I know. And let's know what you know. And at least, can you repeat it? Because, and this is another thing, Pete, that we talk about in Heads Up Baseball, too, is we talk about, you have to know what you're talking about. You have to know the skill, what you're trying to do. Then you have to do the skill. And to do it means you understand it, but now you got to go into the game and do it. And the third and final phase is you own it. It becomes yours. And what we're trying to move players to is you own these skills. But there's a whole learning curve that you go through. And at each level, the journey begins again. It's like a player, he signs a major league, he signs to play professional baseball. You go through low A, high A, double A, triple A, and then you get to the show if you're fortunate. But at each stage, there's different stuff you have to learn as you go along on the journey. And it's incredible. Because, and I'd like to end with this, Pete, is, and we talk about this in the book, and that is, for me, one of the things that I've really learned the last 20 years from when I wrote the first book was that competing is like eating a chicken sandwich. And let me explain. The bottom layer of the bun, okay, is you have to compete. The chicken is you have to perform. The cheese is how you feel, what's going on in your body, and all of that. The tomato is how your practices have been going. How's your training been going?
Mm-hmm.
The lettuce represents your personal life. Sometimes it's a nice, fresh piece of organic romaine lettuce. Other times it's shredded because you got stuff going on in your life. The top part of the bun is the opponent you're going against. Now, what holds the chicken sandwich together is a toothpick. The toothpick is self-knowledge. It's knowing yourself. Now, to eat the sandwich, you take the toothpick out, you take a bite, and the chicken slides a little bit, and the tomato moves over. You got to move it back, make the adjustment, and take the next bite. The mental game is in constant flux. It's changing. It's not fixed. It's based on left-handed, right-hand pitcher, high velocity, low velocity. Whether you got a hit your first AB or you didn't get a hit, all of these variables come in and impact the performance.
Sure. Wow.
And it's and it's ever changing. So you got to know yourself in all these different situations. And that's where it sounds so simple, but it can be complex. And that's one of the things we get into is, yes, you got to keep it simple, but you don't want to make it too simple.
Sure.
No question.
Ken, that was awesome, man.
Okay, Pete.
We're at the end. Listen, I want to thank you because this was a thrill. This was a great show. We will have another one. So again, you know, on behalf of Baseball Outside the Box, the Lineup Media Group, Ken, thanks so much for being on the show.
Okay. Take care, Pete.
Okay. And to all our listeners.
Have a great holiday.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Ken. Merry Christmas. And to all our listeners, we really appreciate listening to the show. You know, without you, we don't exist. So please, first of all, don't forget, you've got to purchase Ken Revizza's book, Heads Up Baseball 2.0. It's five skills for competing one pitch at a time. You can go to headsupbaseball2.com and purchase that book. Also, don't forget, we're all over social media, so we're going to have Ken's information on the website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. We've got our videotapes for coaches, instructional tapes there for coaches. It's a five-set DVD series, which has over 100 games, drills, skills to able to help you run a successful practice. Don't forget, we're on Twitter at Baseball Out. Again, Twitter at Baseball Out. We got a lot of tips on Twitter every day. And love getting your emails. So don't forget, email me at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Love to get all the information about the shows, any questions you might have on a show, any speakers you want to listen to that, you know, you'd like for us to have on the show. We love interacting with our audience. Please do us a favor. Make sure that you send all our social media out to all your friends. Coaches in the game, players, parents, because we know that the show can really help a lot of people around the world and also in the U.S. And remember, coaches, education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that like to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. See you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.